Turn to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, one that we often use. This is Reformation Sunday, salvation by grace through faith, faith alone, grace alone, the sole laws of the Reformation. The situation was Europe had come out of the Dark Ages. They now had universities. People were beginning to read and write again. And they were upset with the corruption in the church. In the Catholic Church, you had a pope that had 13 illegitimate sons, and he made them all bishops. You had 70 years when the King of France put a pope in Avignon, France, and there was a pope in Rome, so they had dueling popes, and they excommunicated each other. They took each other's salvation away. And you had indulgences, where those are coupons you buy that get you through purgatory faster. You don't want grandma and grandpa suffering in purgatory before they walk on streets of gold. You don't want them to suffer any more than they have to. So you take your money and buy indulgences. The Pope gives them to you. And then grandma and grandpa get through purgatory. They still say masses for the dead to get people through purgatory faster. That's still a practice. Church offices were being sold for $100,000. You could buy a bishopric. Bishops controlled land. They got church taxes off of it. Bishops could become very rich. For $200,000, you could be an archbishop. Didn't matter if you believed the Bible. Didn't matter if you knew anything. You could buy a position in the church. People would hurt themselves, the flagellants. They would whip themselves. They would wear shirts with thorns in them, because if you suffered, you would show God you were sincere and hopefully he would take you to heaven. They would do good works. They would do pilgrimages. All of this to earn their salvation. And along comes the Protestant Reformation, October 31st, 1517. And it's God who justifies. We don't do anything to justify ourselves. So in Romans chapter 8, look with me, beginning in verse 28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And then some people call verse 29 the golden chain of salvation. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them also he glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And the text today is the second part of verse 33. It is God that justifies. It is God that justifies, not us. Roger Nicole, who taught me when he was 93 years old. I had not met Roger before. Roger was considered the greatest Baptist theologian in the world on the doctrine of the atonement. And this is his definition. Justification is that redemptive act of the triune God whereby, on the basis of the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the head and mediator of the new covenant, God declares the penitent and the believing sinner to be free of all guilt and to be entitled to all the blessings secured by the perfect obedience and perfect death of Jesus on the cross. Justification. God justifies us because of what Jesus did, not of who we are. Now, anytime you want to investigate something, you ask the adverb questions. Why, what, how, when, where. And so the why of justification, Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it counted to him for righteousness. It's by faith. Abraham believed God, and when he believed, God considered him righteous. God considered him justified, which is where we get Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Justification is not just a New Testament Christian idea. It goes all the way through the Bible. In the Bible, those people believed in God, and they were justified. Who? Acts 13:39, by him all that believe are justified freely from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Who gets justified? Everybody. Everybody who believes. What do we get when we're justified? We get peace with God, because before that, as sinners, we were enemies with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How? How does God justify us? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's by Jesus' death and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we are born again that we are justified. Now, when does this happen? After we're convicted of sin. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Every one of us have broken the Ten Commandments. Every one of us has sinned in some way. Nobody is right with God. I love it. I love it. People tell me all the time, well, I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, for heaven's sake, do not join it, please, because it won't be perfect anymore once you're a member. I'm looking for the perfect. There ain't no such thing. Imperfect churches are made up of imperfect people who are saved by grace. Christians aren't perfect. We're just justified and forgiven. Probably the most famous trial of the century was the espionage case. As far as spies are concerned, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. They were caught spying for the Russians. The secrets on the atomic bomb that they gave Russia allowed the communists to finish their bomb in half the time. They were arrested. They were tried, they were convicted. Judge Irving Kaufman was the trial judge. Long trial, bitter trial. People were divided. People protested the death penalty. Finally, the defense attorney got up and they said, Judge Kaufman, we want justice. And Judge Kaufman said, no, you don't. Justice is giving them the death penalty, which is what they're going to get. You don't want justice, you want mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And this court doesn't deal in mercy. This court only deals in justice. So they were convicted of violating the Espionage Act of 1917, and they were executed in the electric chair on June 19, 1953. You know, each one of us have sinned against the judge of all the earth. Psalm 130, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? The answer is nobody. Nobody would stand. Psalm 103:8, God is merciful and gracious. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed daily. You know, every day we do something that we deserve to go to hell for, because we're not perfect. But it's God that justifies us through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross in our place. So, trying to understand justification, there are really three parallels in life. The first one is the court parallel. We can compare it to a courtroom. There should have been a guilty verdict, but instead, the judge of all the universe gives us an acquittal. So that's why some people call it forensic justification, legal justification. Under the law, we deserve hell. But under God's mercy, we don't get it. So there's a court parallel. There's a commercial parallel from business. You have a bill. You pay your bill. You have a liability. You're responsible for it. You have a debit. You owe it. It's something you owe. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The commercial parallel is we have a debt we cannot pay. And yet Jesus said on the cross, John 19:30, it is finished, tetelestai. And for many years, we did not know what that Greek word meant, Koine Greek. In fact, we always thought the Greek of the New Testament was classical Greek, like Homer, like Hesiod, like Sappho. And we just found out in the last 100 years there are differences between the common Greek the New Testament was written in and classical Greek. We found a woman's shopping list, and she had all the things she was going to buy when she went to the store. And then when she bought them all, she wrote across the top of the list, tetelestai. What does it mean? The debt is paid in full. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The debt has been fully paid. There is a court parallel where we're judged not guilty. There is a commercial parallel where God says your debt's been fully paid. Then there's a clothing parallel about putting off the rags of sin and putting on the robes of righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says all of our sins are as filthy rags. I remember Corrie ten Boom. She was 90 years old. She gets up to speak. She has this little flashlight. She says, I want to shine my flashlight. Oh, my flashlight's not working. What's wrong with my flashlight? She unscrews it and pulls out a bunch of rags. And she says, my light can't shine because my flashlight is full of filthy rags. Not a bad illustration. And she puts batteries in it. Of course, the light works. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. But Isaiah 61:10, he hath clothed me with the robes of righteousness. That's what God does. God clothes us with the robes of righteousness. Revelation 3:5, that to the letter to the church at Sardis, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will give unto him the crown of life. It's a clothing parallel. We put off the old rags of sin, and God, through God's power, as he justifies us, clothes us with the white robes of righteousness. Justification is remission of the penalty. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a restoration of favor. Ephesians 2:13. You who are now were afar off are drawn nigh by the blood of Jesus. We were away from God. Jesus justified us so we can be right with God. And we are reckoned righteous because of Jesus' righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Henry Thiessen said, the justified person, therefore, has had his sins pardoned and the penalty of his sins remitted. He has also been restored to God's favor by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. He is not righteous in himself, but he is righteous in the forensic sense from the legal standpoint by what Jesus did. We've got a hymn in the hymn book. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, an example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. We are justified in Jesus Christ. Someone wrote in a church bulletin one time, nobody in this church gets what they deserve. Thank God. God hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. Psalm 103, verse 10. Not by our good works, not by visiting a shrine, not by buying anything, not by performing anything, not by afflicting ourselves or starving ourselves. Galatians 2:16, for by the works of the law shall no person be justified. It's by God's grace, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to his mercy he saved me. It's by the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 9:22. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. We go full circle back to Romans 5:1. It's by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're justified and God does the justifying, we don't get condemned. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is God that justifies. That was one of the central themes of the Reformation. It reformed Christianity to get back to the Bible and see what the Bible emphasizes. What is our basis of our relationship with God? It is forensic justification through what Jesus did on the cross. There were two little boys that grew up in the same neighborhood, and they played ball together, and they studied together, and they went through school together, and they went their separate ways. They were best friends. Hadn't seen each other in a long time. One of them became a city court judge. So he's sitting on the bench one day, and the police bring in this man that used to be his best friend. The police bring him in handcuffs. He's charged with a serious crime. He looks at him. And he says, you know, you were my best friend, but I'm a judge, and I have to judge you according to the law. And he said, you owe $30 or 30 days in jail. Now, I never got that. I never thought a day in jail was worth a dollar, okay? But they gave me that choice on a speeding ticket in Valdosta, Georgia one time. $30 or 30 days, okay? And I took the dollars. He said, $30 or 30 days. And the man said, well, Your Honor, I don't have any money. I guess I'll go to jail. And the judge said, I guess you will. And then he steps down and he walks over to the table and he says, no, I'm not a judge anymore. I'm your friend now. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out $30 and put it on the table. Here's your fine. A judge has to do what the law says. A friend can have mercy and pay somebody else's debt. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus did. It is God that justifies. The good news this morning is nobody gets what we deserve. We don't get justice, we get mercy. And it's through Jesus that we get it. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've not done that this morning, then we're going to sing an invitation hymn. I would invite you to come down and do that as we sing this hymn, number 315, Room at the Cross for You.